Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. He's the Padonis. Tonight, we are going to preview round 18. Got some best bets. We do want to have a quick rapid reaction to Origin 3, the decider was last night. I was lucky enough to be in attendance for a memorable Queensland victory. We'll get to that in a second. Last round, just one best bet and it lost, as well as a mixed matchup. It's dropped us to 25 and 29, which is 46% on our best bets this season. And if you'd been having 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup, you are $500 in the hole. Now, that's about 15% of the total profit made in 2021 for some reference. But nonetheless, losing season at this point in time really hurts. It does feel to me like the final trimester of this season for Donis, and still a chance for some joy and some success to come. We just never promise it, but we do promise that we have done our best and we agree on the following four best bets. Let's roll straight into them. As I said, Origin reaction after that. Very first game of the round. I know you guys might not want us playing against the Cowboys, but we will have to. We're taking the Sharks. We're going to go plus half a point in the first half at $1.88, Ladbrokes and Neds. You can actually get plus 1.5 if you sacrifice 5 cents on Unibet. Look, the Cowboys are off the bye. The Sharkies did play last round, but they played on a Thursday and they didn't get pushed as hard as you might have expected against Melbourne. You just really like what Cronulla are doing and what they're about right now. They're close to full strength. You got Hines and Rudolph coming in, pending Talakai backing up for Origin. And that's the key about backing up from Origin. Several Origin stars for the Cowboys won't be, and others we don't know yet. So we feel this could be a WTF game, wrong team favored. We're happy to play the Cronulla Sharks as an underdog in a first half market where these are two good defensive teams. There may not even be a lot of first half points put on us.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment as well as yourself. I definitely feel that the Cowboys' Origin contingent are more likely to rest than play, and that will see the Sharks as a -1.5, -2 favourite come tomorrow night. So definitely feel that they're going to win more than 50% of the time. So getting him as an underdog now is a great way to play it.
I knew you'd agree because you hate the Cowboys. But then we're going to go Roosters, -1.5 tries is our best bet. They play the Dragons at Gosford, $1.88. You can copy that off me at Jacob Wynn on Dabble. It's also $1.85 on Toppy. But honest, why do we like the Roosters?
Yeah, the Roosters coming off a bye and off the back of a four-game losing streak in what you'd say is a pretty tough stretch of opponents. You know, they lost to teams 1, 2, 4, and 6. And now the Dragons are a massive step down in class to what they faced. This is a chance for them to actually catch the Dragons and beat them on the ladder with the Roosters sitting in 10th and the Dragons in 9th. I do feel that both Tedesco and Hunt are more likely to get rested in this game. And I think that favours the Roosters because I feel that they're more placed to cover the loss than what the Dragons are, because you saw how limited they were in the halves last week when Hunt was missing, particularly their fifth tackle play. And I do like the angle as well about try handicap, because we know Lomax is a superior goal kicker to what Kiri can provide. So definitely feel that the Roosters are the side. That's the best way for us to attack this game.
As well as Sims being suspended, which is a big loss to the Dragons pack. And I think if anyone's going to get rested, it's Ben Hunt. I think there's more a chance that Tedesco plays and Hunt doesn't, and then this becomes an even greater line. But the Roosters have got just enough to probably cover Teddy as well. And they can't afford to be resting players, as you say. Like, they can't lose 5 on the trot. They've got to get back on the horse here and make a push. And this is an opponent they should be able to handle and get revenge for Anzac Day, where they did get their pants pulled down. And finally, double best bet, we're taking the Titans against the Broncos, against your Broncos. So +4.5 in the first half, $1.86 on Sportsbet. And then we're going to play on +5.5 in the second half at $1.89 on Sportsbet. Those players are kind of linked because the Titans are, you know, really bang up for the game. They're both going to be better bets. You know, if the market drops down, they're both going to be better lines. Can't see a scenario where the line gets above 12 and either of these numbers get to 6. So I'm not worried about missing out on line value. I just want the Gold Coast Titans to turn up. But surely it's their grand final, Padonis.
Yeah, well, what else do they have to play for sitting near last on the ladder? And these sides did meet 6 weeks ago when the Titans had their season on the line pretty much and lost in that encounter when they were up by 16 points, if you remember. So I definitely feel that having 2 weeks to prepare for this derby this time around, that this will be a grand final for them. And I do see them putting in and having a high-intensity performance for the full 80 minutes, which blends into our two best bets of having them to be strong in each half. They don't have to win each half. They can even lose them both by 4. And that's the way that we're playing this game. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll both win, but I do feel that this is the biggest discrepancy of the round in terms of line value, because I had this line closer to 4.5 with the depleted Broncos outfit. So definitely feel that this is also a game that the Titans can maybe cause an upset in.
And you said they led by 16 against Brisbane, but my mind is saying they were up 20 at one point in that game. They should never have lost that one. Regardless, yeah, we think it's got to be a big effort. Now, Tino should back up for that reason, but you mentioned Brisbane's got several players who either won't play or would be questionable at this point in time, and that's why we think the Titans are a strong play this week. And on the note of Origin, I throw to you first, Podonis, to give us your thoughts because you are a battered blue today.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing, wasn't it? And I was hoping to come on here and the less said about Origin, the better. But here we are facing the music as always. Look, I just feel that heading into the game, everyone knows how much of a favourite the Blues were. And they definitely had no right to lose that game the way they did, I felt. And clearly they haven't learned from the mistakes of past years. And it almost feels like the same as 2020 sitting here. And I wasn't doing the pod with you back then, but it's almost a replica performance. And they just really felt that pressure in the second half and made some pretty uncharacteristic mistakes. And you'd say some like diabolical errors really coming out of their own end. I think back to the Jerome Luai one. Don't know what Stephen Crichton was doing when he broke a tackle and all he did was get a quick play the ball after defending their line and he throws it in the in-goal for a drop out. Think back to the Talakai mistake as well. So I think all those errors compounded on the Blues and they had to defend their line pretty resiliently, you'd say, in that second half. But I think the toll of the defense ended up showing in that game, and Queensland taking nothing away from them because they played to their level. And it's disappointing to sit here and say that we lost a series, but then the Blues feel like they lost it more than what Queensland deserved to win it yesterday, because I think Queensland played to the best that they could have. And it's unfortunate that we lose another series. And everyone this morning has been looking at the low-hanging fruit and attacking Nathan Cleary. But when the side completes 8 from 17 in the second half, then I think collectively they all let themselves down. It wasn't necessarily a one player. So I don't think it's the Penrith contingent that was the issue, because a lot of people have been saying that today. But credit to Queensland, and looking forward to next year to be back better than ever, because it is a fantastic event and spectacle. And you'd say that last night's game as a contest was one of the best that you've seen in a long time. And I don't know how it was like being there, Jacob, but the crowd sounded great coming through on TV. And yeah, it was just a pleasure to be there for you guys, especially as Queenslanders.
Oh, the atmosphere was incredible. It was amazing to be there. It was one of the greatest atmospheres I've ever experienced. And I've been to a bunch of amazing sporting events. And I didn't even know I was going. I've got to give a shout out to the show sponsor, Dabble. I'll tell you guys a story. A few weeks ago, I was chatting to some of the guys at Dabble and they said, Jacob, we've got this event coming up, Origin 3 in Brisbane. We've got a bit of a VIP event and then some great seats for the game. And we're going to put a couple of tickets aside for you. And I'm thinking, oh, that sounds unreal. And they said, yeah, so you can choose however to give them away. You know, you run whatever promotion. And I went, oh, give them away. Oh, okay. But honestly, I was very happy, like thrilled for the opportunity to give them to a follower, even though like I would love to go myself. As it turned out, we had Thomas in our group. He picked New South Wales to win by 30 in game two. He won those tickets, came along from Sydney. We had other people in our group, Ben Williamson, who's been sharing a lot of tips, happened to win separately on Dabble. Zach, another follower, shout out to him, also won through Dabble. And Lockie, who has also contributed content in our group, won some tickets too by guessing whether some legends keep sauce in the fridge or the cupboard. So there were a bunch of pod people there. And then I got the call up because someone couldn't make it. And I got given a couple of tickets in the afternoon. I live 90 minutes out of Brisbane, but I hot-footed it down there because I didn't want to miss this. And I brought our old tripod friend, Alexi, along as well. So it was a great night. And Queensland got a great start on the back of that amazing momentum as well. But then after being up 6-0, New South Wales got back in control, didn't they? They went bang, bang. They're up 12-6. Of course, carnage. The contact was immense. And three players were ruled out in the first 4 minutes, two of them Queenslanders. So Queensland had to go the rest of the game with only 15 men. So I was very worried when they're down a try. But what I've noticed in the last month, how many teams have scored a try on the stroke of half time and it been pivotal for the result. And it comes off the back of a Tupou error. And there's irony
there.
What is
he doing there, Jacob? That, tell me what he's doing.
Well, the irony is that Tupou was picked in this team because of his prowess under the high ball, among other things. But that's one of the key reasons. And if he just didn't catch it, it would have either gone out the full or it would have gone straight out. It was drifting out. Look, it was a hard one, but you just expect to take that. You don't. You give Queensland a chance, and still Harry Grant does a pirouette with 5 seconds to go in the half, and then a grubber in behind that you can say it's a deft grubber, but it's a ricochet. It comes off Luai's knee, and we know Capewell scores. That's huge. It gives Queensland so much momentum, even though they were still down. And then second half, it was a story of one team that made crucial errors, and you talked about those, but it was a story of another team that made the big plays. What about Hunt's 40-20? Ponga's try. Like, that's a superstar try. I called for him to be the guy to do what Cam Munster would have done had he been there. You know, you look on the other side, New South Wales nearly coming up with that huge play. They were down four with about 10 minutes to go, and Cleary executes this rifle low dropout. If they get the ball back there, they can get on a roll. They're going to throw everything at Queensland. Val, a miraculous save to keep the ball in Queensland's hands. I think that's what they go on to – oh, sorry, they go on to mount more pressure, and time was obviously the enemy of New South Wales. And, like, that's the fine margins. That, you know, maybe New South Wales could ride the back of that, maybe still win the game. Nathan Cleary is the hero. He's the player of the series. It is a shame that goes by the wayside because we did have 11s on him. And what else went by the wayside? My $3 toppy tip, because I think we had about 7 or 8 different players scored last night. The margin had to be under that. Well, it was a 4-point game, and it was New South Wales attacking at the end. And then, of course, we know how it ended, the Hunt play that extended the margin to 10, which actually cost us the toppy play. But I got to be happy for him. I think everyone should be, really, what he's been through in his career. And he's been absolutely unbelievable for Queensland last few years. He's been player of the series for Queensland twice in a losing series. He was probably close to being their best player last night. But Carrigan is an absolute animal as well. And I thought Ponga had an outstanding season, series, I should say. And I want to make one more point. I posted this on the group. What about Freddie's coaching stats over the last 5 years? I think there's a strong argument you can make that New South Wales had the better team every single year. Go back to when Freddie took over. That was the very same year that Cronk retired from rep footy. Slater was injured game one. Cameron Smith retired that season. So it was a full changing of the guards when Freddie came in. They only narrowly won the series in 2018. Queensland has won series when they had no right to. You drew the parallel to 2020. The funny thing is, Queensland had no right to win the 2020 season with who was available at the end of that COVID-affected season. But in game three, Queensland was a 6.5-point underdog in 2020. Last night, Queensland was a 9.5-point underdog, so an even bigger upset in the decider last night. Freddie, only 40% against the spread. I think New South Wales have been $1.90 or lower in every game. I loved someone to prove me wrong there, but I've looked back at every game. The highest odds they've been is Pick'em, and they've been a clear favourite at least 13 times out of 15, and they've only won 8 of those games. So, you know, I feel like the talent's there, but you've got to look at the coach. I mean, do you think he goes around again? Pedonis, and any thoughts on, you know, the last 5 years only coming away with 3 Origin Series wins when you guys were the ones that were supposed to be beginning a dynasty?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one for Freddie, and I definitely feel that it's more likely for him to be on the outer than stay on next year, because I think last year he was blessed a bit by the form of Turbo and Mitchell, and that got us through, and then the year before that was the start of the Penrith dynasty, so I feel that he's sort of ridden the back of the success of those guys at Clubland and not necessarily putting in tactics and game plans to get the best out of the players himself. And he's talked more about bonding and getting together as a group, and that's been his focus over the last 5 years. But then you hear all these stories come out that there's still player rifts, and look at Campbell Gillard as one of them, for example. So has that really worked and that strategy worked? I'm not quite sure. And you'd argue some of the selections that he made last night, and I know that it was a lose-lose scenario for him, because if we won and we changed it, then everyone would have been saying that he should have kept the same team that won. But then the two players that I'm talking about in particular, Crichton and Talakai, and the contentious one leaving out was Jack Wyden, because he was a big player in game one for us. And had he been there, would it have been a bit different? Because I think back to the 10-minute spell that Talakai had when he came on and he played the ball sideways. He lost it on his own 8-meter line, and he missed that tackle that Ponga scored the match-winning try in the end. So would it have been a bit different with Wyden? Who knows? But I don't think Freddie is in a position to negotiate well in his favour. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but I almost think regardless of selection, that's one piece of the puzzle. But the players they're putting out there are still the ones that are favoured according to the marketplace, which if the marketplace is wrong, people bet it. And the team is still underperforming based on who's out there each game. So is it game plan? Is it not getting the best out of these players? And they have had some superstars that they have been able to ride. And we've seen the difference in these sides because there have been some blowouts. All the blowouts have been in New South Wales' favour. But how many of the tight finishes has Queensland won? Is that just small sample size? I do think there's more to it. And some of the guys you're talking about that made mistakes, like they're inexperienced at Origin level. But Queensland had a few players in this series that didn't have a lot of Origin matches under their belt either. And those guys stepped up. And Queenslanders can be incredibly proud for that effort. And we'll probably still touch on a little bit more Origin because we'll hear the betting wrap up now from Tristan, as well as a look forward to round 18.
Hey, Tripod family, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. Just got over a very exciting Origin game. It was one of the best I've seen being a Queenslander. The result was obviously very enjoyable. The punters were actually came for Queensland late, quite significantly. Had one punter out of 30,000 on them at $3.50. We laid the plus really heavily, and that caused us to skew the line late, which is when obviously the bulk of the action occurs, into 186 and $2 about the minus. And then we did get a bit of action back New South Wales way in the last sort of 10, 15, 20 minutes. So it was a good book. There was good money both ways, and overall, the actual match itself was a slight loser, but then we got that back with the try score markets, with obviously not many of the high profile wingers scoring, so that sort of allowed us to get our nose in front. But it was a really well bet affair. There were a lot of punters taking different views, and well done everyone that found the winner in whatever shape or form you bet. So we've got a really tricky week coming up now with the pricing of the NRL games, because you're trying to work out which players are going to start, which ones may have the week off after Origin, and then obviously just the normal uncertainty that we've had in the season, where I feel the COVID cases are probably going to spike over the next bit. So it's made these markets quite difficult to price. The first game between the Cowboys and Sharks has seen quite a move towards Cronulla, I think maybe on the back of the rumours getting out about Tommy Dearden's celebration, so it probably would appear unlikely he's going to play. The Roosters have been very, very well backed, $1.36 now and 8.5. That moved even before the match. I think it was probably always one of those ones where, you know, the Roosters, you always assume, have got a lot of players in that Origin team, but not quite as much this year as in recent times. So they've been well backed. And then just looking at the other game that's been a bit tricky is the Storm Raiders at the end of the round, and also the Bulldogs Rabbits. So just keep an eye out on team lists, monitor the news, and obviously just be mindful of that before you have any bets. All right, good luck over the weekend.
Thanks, Tristan. One observation I've got, a lot of these games are lined right around 8.5. So we're laying 1.5 tries with the Roosters. A lot of teams this weekend are favoured by right around 1.5 tries. So they look like they should be the goods to win, but it wouldn't take too much. There's still single-digit underdogs, so it wouldn't take too much for an upset. We've got to try and figure out which games the favourites will go well and which games there could be an upset, but a tiny bit more on Origin, because we've got to give a word to a bloke who's fired up and has played in the arena itself, and that's the axe, of course, brought to us from Dabble, who will say what he reckoned about the decider and then also give us a mini preview of the round.
G'day all the dabblers. Good to catch up with you. I was at the Brewski Bar the other day. How good? Origin, Queensland. We win again. Written off. How good? Fantastic. But round 18, we'll have to see who backs up. So be a bit careful who does back up for after Origin this weekend. So we'll see what happens. Cowboys versus the Sharks. This potentially, if the Origin players back up, could be the game of the round. So I'm going to go for the Cowboys at home, but just check and see who backs up. Eels versus the Warriors. Parramatta have been erratic. I think they can back it up. So I'll go the Eels there. Roosters versus the Dragons. This would be a great game as well. But I think the Roosters are starting to get a few players back as well. So I'll go the Roosters. Seagulls versus the Knights. Manly should have too much firepower for the Knights. Titans versus the Broncos. The Broncos, you'd think, will just win this, no drama. But the Titans will live for this game. Don't worry about that. There shouldn't be much in this game, but the Broncos should win. Tigers versus the Panthers. The Tigers will give the Panthers a bit of a run for their money too, for a fair bit of this game. But the Panthers should run over them at the end of the game. Storm versus the Raiders. They've lost a bit of their aura, the Storm, lost their last two, but I can't see them losing three in a row. I think they'll beat the Raiders. The Dogs versus the Rabbitohs. Latrell Mitchell, he's made a huge difference to this team, so South should win. So good luck, round 18, and have good Queensland.
He loves it. All right, I'm going to let you do most of the talking because I've got a pretty sore throat after last night. Cowboys host the Sharks, as we know. The Sharks are slight underdogs, plus 1.5. No Nanai, McLean, Taulagi, Holmes, Dearden, Gilbert are the questionable ones. Nakora will be out for the Sharks, but Hines, Rudolph are back, and Talakai, I guess, as well. And further reasons why you reckon Sharkies are going to win this game.
Yeah, so we touched on it at the top, and where this line closes, I think, ultimately depends on the status of those Cowboys origin players. So I think at the moment it's set somewhere in the middle. And if Gilbert, Nanai, Dearden and Holmes are all rested, then I definitely see the Sharks as a -2 favourite come kickoff tomorrow night. And conversely, if they're all backing up, then this will probably go closer to 3.5, somewhere in that range, with the Sharks being a 3.5-point underdog. But after hearing what Todd Payton's been saying over the last few weeks in his commentary, I definitely feel like he will take the cautious approach here. And given that the Cows have banked a pretty healthy win total at this stage of the season, then their ladder position does allow them that flexibility to exactly do that and execute that, because they are probably looking towards finals as well now, given that they're entrenched in that top three. But the Sharks, on the other hand, are sitting in fourth, but there's a few people nipping at their heels, and they only get stronger this week with Hines and Rudolph returning from COVID. And I feel that typically there might be a slight query in some of those players when they come back from illness, because you're not sure how some players recover. But with a 10-day turnaround from when they tested positive, I think that they'll be good to go here. And we're going to see Hines well rested, because he did miss last week. He touched on it as well. They got an 8-day turnaround from the Melbourne game, which wasn't necessarily taxing on the players. And we have to admit that the crowd probably going to be raucous tomorrow night on the back of what we saw last night with all the Queensland support there. So it's still going to be a difficult place for the Sharks to go to and win. But I just feel that they're resilient and they're experienced enough to deal with that pressure. And I feel that they're going to win this game more than 55% of the time. And we do get the chance as well that they can start a favourite. So we have to take them as an underdog now. And if you do like the Cows, then I'd suggest waiting. But the way that we're playing this is to take the Sharks now.
And the thing is, the Sharks don't actually have to win the game. And catching that hook in the first half, it can be level. And then we don't even mind what happens. And you just reminded me too, it was only about 12, 13 months ago that there was an origin game played in North Queensland and the Blues beat the living life out of Queensland, a 50-point win. That same Queensland team come back and win the series this year. So sorry to keep rubbing it in. But look, the Cowboys, you're right. Like, before this season, if you would have said they're going to finish top four, potentially top three, top two, it would be such a great achievement. But now that's a given. They know they're definitely going to be there. Now it would be a failure if this Cowboys team finishes top four or whatever and loses a couple of finals games and bows out. Now success for this team, based on what they've built, is to win finals games. And that's why their focus has to be halfway looking to September. And look, the Sharkies as well, they're nicely poised. They're a side that really wants to cement their spot in the top four as well. And it was questionable because they had this really tough run of opponents coming up. But like, Storm didn't end up being as tough as what we thought. And now the Cowboys have got a few of their best players out. So it's working really well for the Sharkies. And I think they're going to take advantage of that. And I think it's going to still be a cracking game. We've still got a lot of respect for the Cowboys. And they're not going to give Cronulla anything easy. But I just like the way that this Shark side is balanced. And I think you get a boost when you get a big win. And, you know, your star half didn't even play. And now Hines obviously can lift them again. And they can get this road victory, I believe. So I like our play in that one. Following that one, we've got the doubleheader Friday. So the later game Friday night, I don't know why. Why wouldn't they want Cowboys Sharks as like the main game on Friday night? Am I reading that right? That it's Eels Warriors. It's primetime Friday night. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, the Parramatta Eels are at CommBank and they are 17.5-point favourites. Paulo, I think that he goes by, his name to back up, but no Madison yet. The Warriors will get back Reece Walsh. They're off the bye as well. They're off the emotional homecoming. They've lost Wojtenis Lesniak, and they have got a couple of COVID cases. Stacey Jones needs to test negative to be able to coach. Tavanga, I think, same story, to play, but I think he has got time to still do that. We don't have a play on this game, Podonis, but any leans or major factors?
Yeah, so talking about teams getting a boost, and that's exactly what the Eels got last week, finding themselves in a 12-0 hole early against the Tigers and coming back to win pretty convincingly at Leichhardt Oval with, you'd say, quite a bit of pressure and momentum against them in that game. And they found a way to stop the flow of that game and come back over the top strong. So that will give them some confidence because they have struggled against the lesser teams this year. So I definitely feel like they are going to be in tune and they do want to put in back-to-back performances because it's been few and far between for them this year, you would say, because they've seemed to perform better against the heavyweight sides. And maybe Campbell-Gillard plays with a bit of chip on his shoulder as well after seeing what happened yesterday. So I definitely see a clear edge for the Eels in the spine and the outside backs. And my one query with the Warriors, you touched on that they've been home for 2 weeks and they've had the bye since their homecoming breakout performance there. And I just wonder, has Stacey Jones maybe given them extra time to spend time with their family and friends, and how dialed in will their preparation be for this game, making their first trip across the ditch back to Sydney for this one? That would be my one query over them. But I look at the Warriors and I do see that it's probably one of their strongest forward packs that they've named in some time. So do I want to be laying 3 converted tries with the Eels? Not at this stage, although that's the only way I could lean. And the COVID outs would make it hard to even look at the Warriors at this point, because if Stacey Jones does test positive and a few other players follow him, I'm not sure what the protocols are like at the moment coming from international, whether that's more onerous than what it is traveling interstate here. Probably need to seek some clarification on that. I'm not too sure, but if there are a few players out in this line, probably creeps to minus 20, then it's not much of a difference from 17.5. So if you do like the Eels, you probably could wait, because if you know who's playing for the Warriors, and I don't think it changes how the Eels come into this one. But back at Bank West, I think the Eels are definitely going to be too strong, but I just can't lay the points at this stage.
Yeah, for me, it's the uncertainty. Like, are the Warriors going to fall flat again because they got the emotional high, but that was at home. But now they've got to travel back over to Sydney and play a really strong side that they don't have a great chance against. Or did getting home and seeing the passion of their fans and seeing how excited everybody was, does that reinvigorate them? And does it just add more focus and energy and confidence and positivity at training? And now is this a new Warrior side that's coming back over? Because there is enough talent there. And I don't know, because if they don't apply themselves properly here, they won't cover within, they won't be within 3 converted tries of Parramatta. And it's a big game for Parramatta to try and build momentum on the back of winning last week after getting a little scare. But if the Warriors actually take it to the Eels, you'd be happy to probably have the points, because it's a lot of points. And the Warriors are not completely talent deficient. So just a hard one to get a gauge on. That's why we haven't weighed in on it. Saturday, the Roosters play the Dragons. You know, our best bet is -1.5 tries. The line is 8.5 with the Roosters favoured, and it's a neutral venue game at Gosford. So Roosters have named all their reps, although Collins won't be able to play after the concussion, but Teddy, Tupou, Crichton all play big roles, are all named. This Roosters side is $2.50 to make the 8. So there's no luxury to rest. And a notable absence, I thought, was Keary not being named in the team this week, because when he didn't play last game, I thought, oh, that's just being overly cautious. They've got the bye. You know, even if he would have been sweet, just give him that 2 weeks off to be totally in the clear. But he's not back now. And now you don't know if he'll be back at all this season with the repeated head knock stuff. So that does mean Joey Manu will remain at 5'8". Dragons are in a similar boat in that they're desperate. They're fighting for a top 8 spot. And Hunt is named. And, you know, he just poured so much into that Queensland win. Like, it's going to be a tough one for him to back up from. But we'll see. Ravalawa did his hamstring against Brisbane. He's out, and Sims suspended. Additional reasons why the Roosters are the side here, even though, you know, it's not a true home game. And, you know, both of these sides are on the outside of the finals and trying to claw their way in.
Yeah, so you'd say that there's plenty to play for both teams. And when you look at the two teams on paper, as you touched on, Collins will be out because that was a pretty brutal head knock that he experienced yesterday, and potentially Crichton as well. And if he's ruled out as well, then I think both those losses are offset by Hargraves returning, and more than likely Matt Lodge is going to be playing his first game for the Roosters. He's named on the extended bench, and he might get into the 17 if he can prove his fitness in the captain's run. So that'll be a big edge for their forward pack. And the way that I looked at this game and whether or not I wanted to lean the Roosters was, worst case scenario for us, if Tedesco is ruled out and Ben Hunt plays, then who would I lean? And I'd still lean the Roosters in that scenario. So that's why I feel that it's a strong play. Because I definitely feel that if Tedesco misses, they could play Manu at the back and he provides some strike for them. And the forward pack should be able to dominate the Dragons pack with Sims missing as well. We saw their struggles last week and the Roosters are coming into this fresher. And you talk about both this being a contest for both teams to play well in, but I think it's near must-win territory for the Roosters, given that they're a game behind the Dragons. And Team 8 is also sitting on 20 points, and the Roosters are on 16. So if they fall two wins behind, then that $2.50 to make the 8 is going to hit something like $3.50, $4. So they definitely can't afford to lose this game, and it's almost must-win territory for them. So at this point, I think we know what the Dragons are and what they can provide week in, week out. They're going to play hard and tough. So if the Roosters can match that intensity and not beat themselves, then I think they're going to have the firepower to run all over the Dragons late, similar to what the Broncos did.
And that Broncos team was well under strength and Dragons couldn't go with them, whereas the Roosters have played the cream of the competition just about. So you can excuse some of their losses. And now they've got some more winnable games, the Roosters, but they've got to put the performances in and string some wins together. And I still believe in the Roosters as that frisky bottom half of the eight side that nobody's going to want to play if they build momentum. But we've just got to see if they can get players out on the park. Obviously, no Kerry this week, but we'll see like what Sam Walker, who got a little taste of Origin camp, what he produces as well. I feel like he could have a big game. And even though it's an emotional high, I just find it hard to believe that there's going to be much energy. And Ben Hunt, he put his body through the ringer in that performance. And then, you know, the celebrations as well, where none of the Roosters players are coming off the back of celebration. You don't have to worry about that. Next is Manly hosting the Knights, and the Knights are 8.5-point underdogs. Manly gets to name the same 17 that beat Melbourne. Then they got a bye. Of course, you've got to see if Cherry Evans is going to back up. And for the Knights, they've named their Origin players. Tugovic is also in the same boat for Manly. So for the Knights, Ponga, Jacob Saifidi and Gagai all named to back up. Brayley is going to get a start after making his season debut off the bench last week. But the Knights will be without Bradman Best, who couldn't ground simple ball that would have won us our best bet last week. And also Croker dropped, who threw an awful pass that gifted 6 points to Walker. That probably cost our best bet last week. So maybe O'Brien looking after us there. Not that it does us any good now. I just wish he prepared his team to play well as they should be able to. Do you think they're going to play well this weekend, Padonis?
Well, we were on them last week, as you touched on, and they let us down. But the week before, they have a 30-point win. So the Knights are one of those teams that seem to put in every time we fade them. But nonetheless, I feel that this is a game that the Knights could look towards maybe winning, but I don't see them being able to play Ponga in this game, especially with his history of pulling out late and his injury history. I'll find it very hard for him to play. Likewise, on the other end, I think that the news came through today that Evans wants to play and he's called Hasler already. And the late mail is that he is going to back up, which is huge for them coming off what was a massive win against the Storm. And I just find when you have two teams that are coming into the game with such contrasting performances the week before, and that's the last thing that people remember, then how much value are you really getting betting on the square side? And you'd say the square side in this game is Manly, because as you saw, they were up 36-6 against Melbourne 2 weeks ago, and the Knights were pretty poor against South in that one last week. But I think that we touched on it last week that one of the reasons we liked the Knights was that they had their forward packs improved and played a lot better in the last month or so. So I definitely see them getting into a grind with Manly. In that scenario, it probably tighten the contest and lower the scoring. So I feel that the line's pretty fair because I don't think there's much value laying the 8.5. Although that's the only way that I could look, especially knowing now that Cherry Evans might back up. Although, as you touched on, given that it was such an emotional high, how well suited will he be to play? But a few question marks for me in this one, and it's something that we don't have any confidence in to lay best bet.
That's what makes it tough. It's arguably the best player on each side. And they may be and they may not. They may be 100%. They may not be. But even though you would say, like, everyone's just going to take Seagulls either head-to-head in their multis or lay the points or 13-plus or same-game multis, right? But it's a square side, but it's probably the only side I would lay because at least I know that's a focused unit. That's a team that's still got belief and that's a team with a half-decent coach. And I don't know if I can say any of those same things about Newcastle, but they have got the ability to make this a grinding affair where that will could actually feel like quite a few points to overcome. So with the uncertainty, we move on to a game we've actually gone double best bet on. Titans versus the Broncos at Cbus. Line is 7.5 to 8.5, depending on where you look. So you know you've got to lay the lower number if you like the favorite and take the higher number with the dog. And the 8.5-point line has allowed us to get 4.5 and 5.5 as two separate first and second half bets. And as I say, they're kind of related, but they're also not, because if the Titans win the first half or win the first half bet, like, it means the second half line we're getting won't be a great line overall, but it also means the Titans are going to have confidence and they're playing well. If the Titans are not within 4 in the first half, then at least that second half line is effectively like getting a bigger line for the game. So they're two separate events. So we don't feel like we're putting all our eggs in one basket. We do just feel like we're loading up on a side that should be set up to succeed here. They've got some fresh faces too. Now, you think Tino plays because of the importance of the game to the Gold Coast side, who are at home. Sammy and Thompson are back. Tanner Boyd's going to start at 6. Aaron Booth is going to make his club debut at 9. While the Broncos, it's all about who's not there. Cobbo, Capewell, Haas, Oates is in the reserves. Maybe he does play. Carrigan was man of the series and immense for Queensland. He's also in the reserves. Flegler will be back for the Titans. You got any additional reasons why the Titans could spring the upset here, and certainly why they could give Brisbane a better game than people expect?
Yeah, so with the Broncos in particular, we're not necessarily saying that there's a knock on them, because we do respect how far they've come this year as a side, and they were fantastic last week. But I think there's something to be said that some of the same fears that we felt that they had last week and the limitations they had with all the player outs that looked like they overcame against the Dragons, just because you win from one week to another doesn't mean those same issues aren't there. And I do feel that replacing that caliber of talent on a week in, week out basis, it is hard, and they won't be able to replicate that same level of performance, I don't feel, especially when the Titans are going to come into this with an intensity level to match theirs, knowing that this is probably their grand final, because as each week's passed along, and we've downgraded them more and more as a side because their motivation drops off. But I think this is a game where their motivation is going to be high. And I think we'll touch on quickly the game where they met 6 weeks ago, which was round 12 at Suncorp. And at that point in time, we pretty much knew who each team was in the season. It wasn't too early on. And the Broncos closed a 7.5-point favorite on that day. And they did come back from a big deficit, as you said. And we have to note that from the team that played that day, Reynolds wasn't there. So there's a big upgrade for him. But then, as you touched on, you lose Martin, you lose Selwyn Cobbo. Harvey Farnworth played that day. He's not there anymore. Corey Oates, he may play, he may not, but I don't think a winger changes the spread that much. You're missing Haas, Capewell and Carrigan as well. So I feel that those player outs are definitely significant for what the Broncos can produce. And I had this line set at 4.5. And currently, as you touched on, it's sitting around 7.5, 8.5 across the market. So based on a line of 4.5, you get a half and second half line around 2.5. So it's a pretty big edge to get an extra 2 points based on my model. And you feel the same way. So it's definitely something that we're going to grab. And hopefully the Titans can put in a full performance for us.
Now, Pat Carrigan is such a stud and a leader as well. And he could play. Like, so we can't say he is out for sure. We're going to be hoping he is out. But overall, the Titans, no excuses for them. And they're off a bye while the Broncos played the last game of round 17. So enough reasons for the Gold Coast to make a good contest of this one in what's been such an underwhelming and disappointing season for them. And we're going to use that in our mixed matchup as well. If we're taking two best bets on a game, then we like the prospects of the Titans. We're just going to simply do Titans to score more points than the Dragons. And that's 220. And you can have up to 200 on that on Toppy. The promo code to join Toppy is Tripod with a Y if you would like to. Both these teams are predicted to score right around 16 to 18 points, the Gold Coast and the Dragons. So we think the Roosters, one of their strengths is their defense. And we think, you know, especially you don't know if Hunt's going to play or whatnot, we think they can restrict the Dragons. We won't need too many points from the Titans. And the thing about Brisbane as well, even when they had quite a few of their key players out, they were not afraid to play expansive footy and throw it around against the Dragons and play an open-style game. So that could be the case again. I think it could be a more open affair Saturday night on the GC. Move to Sunday. The Tigers host the Panthers at CommBank. Panthers are 8.5-point favourites. For the Tigers, Hastings is moving to lock. So Dewey's going to play six, Brooks slides to seven. Tarmel meant to be back. We'll see, because he has been kind of scratched even in games he's been named sometimes. Malmalo is also back. Little and Uto Kamanu are out for the Tigers. And for Penrith, they had seven players play Origin. None are in their 21. So we know they won't take any part. So it's a pretty different looking Penrith side, but you got to still respect them, and they should still be favourites. And they beat the Dogs by, it was about 10 when they had all the Origin stars out as well, I recall, a few weeks ago. You still got the likes of your Edwards, May, Targo, Falls, O'Sullivan, Kenny, Lenu, Kikau, Luke, the Fish, Leota. But I'll throw to you first and ask what you would make this line if Penrith was at full strength, and therefore how much has it been adjusted for those seven guys out?
Yeah, so assuming Penrith are at full strength with all the Origin plays in, I have this line closer to 30, given that this is a neutral venue. So I definitely feel that the outs are probably worth 20 points. So I had this line set at 9.5, closer to 10 myself. So I would lean to the Panthers at this point in time, because I've been sitting here scratching my head thinking, trying to understand this Tigers reshuffle. Because I don't feel that Brooks was the one that should have been retaining the halfback spot, given that Hastings has probably been the Tigers' best player this year, and he's been a leader and organizer for them. So it'll be pretty interesting to see how he fits in as a new combination at lock there against a pretty ferocious line speed that the Panthers do have. And I know that Dewey's going to be playing his third game back this year in 5-8. So again, I know he's played with Brooks before, but it's going to be a different proposition this week. And I think last week the Tigers probably played as good as that they probably could have hoped for. And the crowd was behind them and they were up for it, had plenty of energy about them. And you could just see how limited the side was. And it still showed on the scorecard late, even though they did put in. And you look at the scoreboard and you think that they played poorly. But if you actually watch the game, they actually put in a big effort against the Eels. And they did the same thing against the Warriors as well the week before, away from home, when they defended pretty stoutly against a lot of pressure against them. So I don't think that they're going to have that same resilience this time around, and it's going to be difficult for them to repeat that same effort. And I looked at this game 12 months ago when the Tigers upset the Panthers at Leichhardt Oval in pretty much the same fixture with all the Origin players rested to end Penrith's undefeated streak at that point in the season. So I can definitely see it as a bit of a revenge game for the Panthers, them looking at this to try to get one back over the Tigers, knowing that the Origin players are out and it's almost the same side that's going to be focused to try to get one back over them. So as I touched on, I had this line a bit higher. And I know that you didn't quite get there with me and agree with the Panthers, but I'm happy to give out a play to everyone at the moment now, which is a bonus bet on Dabble. So I don't mind taking the Panthers a -2.5-point favourite in the first half, which is sitting around $1.78. Because I know that if that line's at 8.5, then you're going to probably see a 4.5 line in the first half. So that's a good one to grab, because then you can take goal kicking out of the equation if you think that they can lead by a try or more like I do at halftime.
And you can even back that one for Donis and say it's not a best bet, but it's a play you like, and then people watching this can copy it. That's the beauty of Dabble. And look, you reckon this line would be 30. That seems a bit steep to me. I don't feel like the Tigers are a complete basket case, I suppose. The Panthers were about -27.5, you know, sort of against the Warriors. So maybe, and then, you know, it is a huge downgrade. I think back to last year, though, the line was about 6.5. And of course, not only did the Tigers cover, they won the game by like 20. And even last year, I think, Coruscant wasn't in Origin, for example, so he was still playing for Penrith. So revenge factor, but didn't we also see how this played out, that when you take all those guys out of the Panthers side, it's not the same side? So that's my hesitation. I really think that if you're West, you can't let an opportunity like this slip. What a reprieve that you're playing the best side, one of the best sides of the decade or of the century, but they're missing all their best players. So you actually aren't mincemeat and you actually can compete. I heard an interesting take on Hastings. I think he has been just about Tigers' best player. And then I saw a stat that he has like just about the most touches of any player in the comp. And I thought, geez, that's a testament to his work rate and how involved he gets. And then I heard Cooper Cronk saying, if your halfback has too many touches, your team ends up going too sideways and you're not getting the ball just straight from the dummy half to your forwards and bringing them onto the ball and generating momentum. So you wonder if moving Hastings to lock and asking him to run the ball a bit more if that straightens up the Tigers and gets them playing more direct. And you talk about the Panthers and one of their traits being their incredible, you know, line speed. But when you've got mass changes, you don't know necessarily. It's easier to have line speed when the opponent is gassed and when you've steamrolled them. But this side, as much as I still name some good players for Penrith, they're not blow you away talented anymore. That's what happens. You take seven of Origin caliber players out of them and they're still a good team, but they're not unbeatable, that's for sure. So that's why I wouldn't go with you. Although, you know, they're 8.5-point favourites and you're laying 2.5. So the superb line value there in that play you gave out. But I actually just had a lean to the Tigers myself. Next game is Storm Raiders at Amy Park. Another one where there's a key number you can get either side of. +12.5 if you like the Raiders, -11.5 if you like the Storm. Shop around. Munster will be back. He's got to be bouncing off the walls, but I suppose he's got to overall be happy that the Queensland did him proud, got it done. And obviously, although he couldn't play Origin 3 because of COVID, he'll be clear by Sunday. And Grant should be playing. He's named, but he did get a cork, so they've got to monitor that. They say it could be about a week injury, but it could be half a week. So we'll see whether Grant lines up. They kind of need him because Brandon Smith got a 3-week suspension for his dissent to the refs. There is another boost, though. Kaufusi returns from the personal matters to the side. Another thing that kept him out of Origin, but fortunately for Storm, he will line up for Melbourne, and they're at home. Papali, who had a bigger effort after only playing like 20-minute bursts the first couple of Origins. Then Queensland leaned on him a bit more. He delivered. He is named to back up for the Raiders. I'll give you the first word on this game, but I will also say this is our jersey giveaway game. Gave away $100 cash last night for Origin. As I said, people have won like tickets to Origin. Heaps of people have won jerseys this year. So it's so good. So if you want to be someone that wins a jersey, comment who you think will score the last try of Storm Raiders. And the minute is the tiebreaker. And I should also say, just while I think of it, you get a second chance to win as well. So you get to double up your entries by commenting on the winning mood preview. I do a Supercoach preview show with Tim Moody, who won it last year and is on absolute fire. Had some crazy high score last week when only half the teams were playing. He's like top 40 out of 100-something thousand people. Again, I don't know if people understand how elite that is to be the top one out of over 100,000 and then be back in the top 40 over 100,000. And we get that access to pick his brain before the round. So I encourage you to tune in. But Tim is on another show tonight because we're a day later. So it's 8:15 if you want to tune in live, not our usual time slot, 7:30. Back to Storm Raiders. Podonis, how do you see it?
Yeah, so the Storm, as everyone's probably read and watched, they've been convincingly beaten the last 2 weeks. And rightly, they've been questioned. And a lot of their roster construction has been questioned as well. But I definitely feel that people have been happy to write them off as contenders. But we're going to see a different version of Melbourne with their leader in Munster back. As you touched on, Kaufusi's back as well for this one. And I do feel that Grant will play pending the call because I think his minutes were pretty limited yesterday. He only played just under 40 minutes because Ben Hunt played the majority of the game. So if that call comes up right with Smith suspended, I definitely feel that Grant's going to play. And I don't think Melbourne want to lose three in a row. So they definitely are going to play all their stars if they're fit and able to do so. But I just feel that the Storm are probably a little light still in the outside backs. And that's probably their one downside if you had to look at their side at the moment. And so I am wary laying the -11.5 or 12.5, depending on where you can shop. But that's the only way that I would lean. Because Canberra, you talk about Munster bouncing off the walls, but I think Whiten's going to be doing the same thing as well, given that he hasn't played for 3 weeks because he missed the Knights game as well before the bye with that COVID out as well. And Melbourne are tough to beat at Amy Park, and they're going to be a different proposition there. But we've seen Canberra go down there and put in some pretty solid efforts in the recent years, so they are going to have some confidence. So there's enough hesitation to pass the game. But I definitely feel that the Storm would be the side, given that although they did play, given that they had a Thursday game to today on Sunday, it's a 10-day turnaround. So they do get a mini bye themselves to refresh themselves and reset for the upcoming 8 weeks into finals.
And those Raiders sides that went down to Melbourne and got results in past years were stronger than what they are this year. Now, you can argue that this Melbourne side in 2022 is not what they once were, but I definitely would lay the points with Melbourne if I had to pick a side. I do feel like it's a spot coming home and getting some key players back and getting, you know, kind of like a fresh Munster and an amped up, chomping at the bit Munster. That could be all the difference right there. The thing for me is, like, this line a couple of days ago was 9.5. Now it's 11.5, 12.5, and Harry Grant might not play. So I don't feel like it's great line value, because the Raiders are not easy beats. Therefore, we are leaving it alone. Although I think, like, Melbourne would be a good side you could put head-to-head in your multis, because I'd be pretty shocked if they were to lose 3 in a row. Last game, we've got a late game Sunday. So that will also remind me, I think we'll do the recap, you know, after the late game. So it could be a slightly later recap. Unless there's like a half-hour window, maybe we jump in before that one. I guess just stay tuned. We'll do a recap whenever we think is best for the people following. But Dogs will play the Rabbitohs to cap off round 18, and another game where the line is 8.5. For the Dogs, Shop is out with COVID. Burton is named. He didn't get suspended for that melee last night. How good was that, bringing back the Biff? Not that it was Burton's choice. I think it's just self-defense on his behalf. Tevita Pangai Jr., and that's a bloke I wouldn't want to get a punch on with. He's back for the Dogs. While for the Rabbitohs, they will get Alex Johnston back and Nichols. But, of course, Cam Murray lost extremely early, which was dealt a real big blow to New South Wales. And now a blow to the Rabbitohs, because he will not be available. Which way do you lean this one?
Yeah, Souths are on a bit of a roll at the moment, with Latrell coming back and spearheading the last two wins. They do get some reinforcements back, as you touched on, with Johnston and Nichols. And you'd say Damien Cook as well, given how limited he did play. I think he got 27 minutes the back end of that Origin. So he's going to play in this one. And Jai Arrow, I'm happy to probably say that he's going to be out, given his post-match interview yesterday. It looked like he had 20,000 bruises all over him. So with him and Murray out, I definitely would lean the Bulldogs, because I think that they're coming into this game near full strength on paper and off a bye. And I feel that the line's probably a touch high. I'd probably set it around 5.5. But the problem with leaning towards the Bulldogs at this stage, as you touched on with the news of the last 24 hours with Short testing positive for the Big C, now, if you do take the Bulldogs now and there's a risk that more players fall into that category, then you're going to get a seriously worse handicap than what you're taking the Bulldogs with now. So it's a stay away at this point. And if you do like South, I'd probably lay the points now. And if you like the Bulldogs, then you just have to just hope that you don't get any further injuries on their part.
Simpler times it was, when we didn't have to worry about any player could be ruled out of any team at any time. But that's the world we live in, and hasn't really helped us at all this season, certainly not as much as it's hindered. And that's the big thing with the Dogs. You may talk yourself into them, but then you may suffer that. So that's like kind of the risk you take, and not a risk we were prepared to take. And I thought, one hand, the Rabbitohs performed really well with all the guys that were out. They took it to the Knights, and they ultimately outperformed them, and then they out-toughed Newcastle. On the other hand, the scoreline flattered the Rabbitohs because of how inept the Knights were and how feeble they were and how they just let the game slip out of their grip and wasted opportunities throughout the middle stages of that game, when a decent side would have, you know, built a double-digit lead, which Newcastle did, and actually carried on and played with a bit of heart. So does that mean Rabbitohs maybe aren't as good as we think, and then they've got the more Origin players either that are going to be out or questionable as well? So I think I lean Dogs if you're telling me no one else is affected by COVID. If they get more outs, then you probably would expect the Rabbitohs could win, and they could win this pretty well. So stay tuned for when we come back and recap live. But you've heard our thoughts on all the games. Please share yours with us as well in the comments. You've heard our best bets. We'll see how we go with those. We've given you a mixed matchup. We'll probably find a multi or two in the next couple of days. So that's where you'll find it across all social media. I'm actually going to make a commitment. If anyone wants to go on TikTok, I don't even know what we are. I think at @tripod_betting. I'm going to try and build up the pod presence on TikTok as well. So I'll do some unique videos to preview games and any extra edges as well. Plus, of course, if you're on Dabble and you're following us, anything that we like and we shoot out, you'll get it. Like, I did give out a winner on Dabble last night, and shout it to the Axe, because I just copied Trevor Gilmeister's Rocket Bet, and that was $6 odds for one of three players to score the first try, and Val Holmes was one of them. So that did cash. That was another positive start to a game. It ended positively as well for Donis. What a great result. Famous Queensland victory. Written off, best player, ruled out a few days before. It doesn't matter how good. But thanks for fronting up, even though that's got to hurt a little bit. now all our focus can just turn to the NRL, and I really hope we can get on a roll by having a winning round 18. Good luck if you're following us. Good luck with all your own punts as well. Always do it responsibly and legal.